Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
Hey, today it's our TLC's unit. We're going to be talking about a program called The World's Richest People. They seem to love to have programs that talk about rich people's lives. I get tired of watching those programs because I just feel like, wow, I can't relate to them at all. They're so rich. Mm. I mean, these people don't have $1 million. They have $40 million, $50 million, $60 million. It's crazy.
They have money coming out of their ears. They have more money than they know what to do with.
Yes.
And, of course, lots of us would like to be like them. And I suppose we introduce the world's richest people to you because it kind of serves as a role model for you. And you can figure out how to make your fortune and become rich like them. I think most people do have the desire to be very rich. I'm okay as long as I have enough and I can survive. It's all right. But some people, hey, they want to be at the top of the heap. And we're going to talk about some of these really rich people today and in our next program as well. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's find out what this show is all about, the world's richest people. Let's listen.
Imagine having more money in your bank account than you could ever dream of spending. What would you do with it? Would you buy your own castle? Become a collector of vintage sports cars? Or perhaps you would take a different approach and donate most of your fortune to charity. TLC's program, The World's Richest People, explores the lives and spending habits of people to whom money is no longer an object. The show peeks into the lives of 32 multimillionaires and reveals how they handle their riches. The world's richest people isn't about old money passed down from ancestors. Most of the millionaires featured on the program went from rags to riches. One such person is American timber baron Tim Blixeth. As a child, Blixeth's family relied on government handouts to make ends meet. Living in poverty motivated him to strike it rich one day. Despite having limited funds, he got involved in the risky business of buying and developing forestry lands. By his mid-20s, Blixeth had become a millionaire, but he soon lost it all after timber prices dropped. Although he was discouraged, Blixeth refused to quit, and he became a millionaire once again when he was 39. Today, Blixeth owns 5 private jets and 2 yachts. One of his prized possessions is a 14th century French chateau, which he spent $100 million restoring. Keeping everything in perfect condition is a key part of his business and personal philosophy. He believes that the best way to live a good life is to demand excellence from your business and yourself.
Okay, let's talk about today's article, The World's Richest People. Now, here's our introductory paragraph. It says, imagine having more money in your bank account than you could ever dream of spending. That seems to be the ideal situation. You have no limits on to what you can spend. No matter what you can think of buying, you'll always have money in the bank. So imagine this situation. Having money in the bank. You will not necessarily have all your money in the bank, but we often say that in the past, I guess that's where most people kept their money, in the bank. Nowadays, they kind of spread it out into different areas, investing in stocks and bonds and gold and stuff like that.
But real estate,
etc., and or in corporations or whatever. So this is your bank account, and of course, if you have a bank account, you can have a savings account or a checking account. That's the kind of place or kind of arrangement you make with the bank to save your money there.
Yeah, the bank keeps a record of your money that you put in and that you take out of the bank. That's your account. Most of us have bank accounts these days. I don't know anyone who doesn't. What would you do with this money if you had all this money that you could ever dream of having? Well, would you buy your own castle? Castles are very old. Very expensive homes. Usually castles are found in Europe, primarily. Would you become a collector of vintage sports cars?
Ooh.
If something's vintage, we use this word to describe something that's not new, but that is very valuable because it's in really good condition. when it was brand new, it cost a lot of money. For example, ladies, if you watch those award shows like the Academy Awards where they give out Oscars, some of the girls will wear vintage designer dresses. If it's vintage, it means it was originally designed maybe in 1930, and it cost a lot of money then, but they've kept it in good condition, so it's still valuable. Well, guys, if you want a vintage sports car, it might be from the 1960s. And still really in good condition and expensive.
An old Lamborghini or Ferrari or something like that. We should also mention that vintage also does refer to the year in which a wine first made, put in barrels and stuff like that. Vintage, like, oh, this wine is 1975 vintage. It's extremely expensive. But here, vintage sports cars just means they're old and expensive. And, yeah, that's what you might be a collector of if you have a lot of money. Or perhaps you would take a different approach and donate most of your fortune to charity. This is a different approach, a different way of doing something. Most people, if they're rich, they just buy a lot of expensive things. But, hey, this is a different approach, maybe a radical idea here. An approach, again, is just how you come close to something. Or how you deal with something, how you handle something. And, yes, some people, like Bill Gates, they donate most of their money or their fortune to charity. And charity, of course, is some kind of organization that helps people who are in need.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about TLC's program called The World's Richest People. It's a series on TV. It explores or looks at the lives of very wealthy people and their spending habits. Your spending habits are just ways you tend to spend your money. What do you like to spend your money on when you get paid after working at your job? Do you like to go to the movies, go out to eat with friends, or do you prefer to save your money or maybe even buy clothes or shoes? They're looking at these people and how they like to spend their money. And of course, these people are folks to whom money is no longer an object. If you use that phrase where money is no longer an object, it means you have so much, you don't have to even have it as a goal anymore. You don't have to think, oh, I need to get rich because they're rich already.
Right. You might say something like this. Hey, how much is that painting? Name your price. Money is no object. I'll give you whatever you want for it. So here, yes, money is no object for some people. And yes, we're going to find out about them if you watch the program on the Learning Channel, or excuse me, Travel and Living Channel. And this program is called The World's Richest People. And the show peeks into the lives of 32 multimillionaires and reveals how they handle their riches. So here we have the word peek, P-E-E-K, which means you look at something usually in a secret way. It's actually a quick look, and you're doing it secretly, like kids will peek at their parents, for example, from underneath the covers to pretend that they're sleeping when the parents think that they are sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're looking at 32 multimillionaires. You can also say multi. Multi or multi means several. So they've got several $1 million, these people that we're looking at. If you're a millionaire, you have at least $1 million that you have earned. Multimillionaires have at least 3, 4, 5, maybe more. These folks are really rich. We're looking at people who have $40 million, $50 million. So they really are true multimillionaires. This program, The World's Richest People, isn't about old money being passed down from their ancestors. Your ancestors are members of your family who lived before you. So it's not old money. They didn't inherit this money. This is money they made themselves.
Indeed, they're self-made millionaires. And again, they are people who went from rags to riches. Rags refers to old clothing that you wear when you're poor. And we often say this, to go from rags to riches. You were really poor. Maybe you immigrated to New York and you arrived at Ellis Island with only $10 in your pocket. So, yes, you were very poor when you began. And then later on, you made your fortune in whatever, plastic or whatever. So you went from rags to riches. You became rich. You're a self-made millionaire.
I love these stories because it means someone worked really hard. They started out very poor in life, we find out that a lot of these guys didn't grow up wealthy. In fact, the first person that we're going to talk about today is a guy who is American. He is actually called a timber baron. Let's look at this word baron first. A baron is a man who has a lot of power or influence in a particular industry. And timber refers to wood that has been cut up into pieces and has been prepared to be used in maybe building a house or a building, used in construction. He's a timber baron, which means he's a very powerful man in the wood industry or the timber industry.
Right. You could be an oil baron or a diamond baron, for example, somebody who controls a lot of a certain industry and you are filthy rich as a result. A related word to timber is lumber. If you want to build something, you might go to a lumber yard, for example. Timber and lumber are very similar. They just refer to wood that is prepared to use for building.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking about this timber baron, Tim Blixith. Now, as a child, Blixith's family, or his family, relied on government handouts to make ends meet. So I guess they were poor when he started out. If you rely on something, you depend on that thing, you need it, and if you don't get it, you're in big trouble.
For example, I could say, I rely on my family to support me, or I rely on the internet for my news. I don't watch TV news very often here, unless it's typhoon season, and then I'll turn on the TV, because I always get the latest news there. But I rely on the internet to read about the news that's going on in the world. Here it says his family needed to rely on government handouts. If you see this word government in front of handouts, it means a free supply of food or maybe some money to help a family live. We also have handouts that people will stand on the streets and give us during the day as we walk by on the sidewalk. That's a handout. It's free, but it's not quite the same as a government handout. A government handout has to be some sort of supply. It could be food. It could be things you need to live on. Typically, it's money to help poor families survive. His family needed those government handouts to make ends meet. If you make ends meet, this is a phrase that means you have just enough money to pay all of your necessary bills like rent, food, utilities. It's not extra money, though. You don't have any extra money to go and buy new clothes or maybe go out to eat. You have to be very, very careful if you want to make ends meet.
You're just getting by. You are just living from paycheck to paycheck. But again, here they're relying on government handouts, maybe food stamps or things like that, in order to just keep on living. Okay, let's take a break right now and listen very carefully to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要介绍的呢是世界上最有钱的这些人。我们首先来看到在第一段中间里面提到 TLC's program, The World's Richest People, explores the lives and spending habits of people to whom money is no longer an object. 在这里要介绍的就是旅游生活频道的这个全球富豪榜的节目，它来探索一些有钱人的消费习惯跟生活。在这里的句子当中使用了 explore 这个动词来解释探讨或者是研究某个主题，譬如说研究处理问题的其他方法，你就可以说 explore other ways of dealing with the problem。而这个节目呢，它所探讨的对象就是这些有钱的人。那么在 people 的后面有一个这个形容词子句To whom money is no longer an object. 对这些人来讲啊，钱根本不是问题。其实 object 这个字呢，原本指的是实物以及物体的意思。所以如果你讲到呢 no object, 尤其是指金钱，就是指它不成问题。我们来造个例子。She traveled as if money was no object, 指的就是她到处旅行，仿佛不把钱当一回事。接着这一句后面写着 The show peeks into the lives of 32 multimillionaires and reveals how they handle their riches. 其实这个节目呢，会让我们一窥这些32位富豪的生活。我们用了一个有趣的动词 peek， 其实原本是有偷窥、窥视的意思。He peeked carefully from behind the door， 指的是他从门后小心翼翼地向外窥视。所以借由这个节目，我们就可以知道这些富豪们的生活以及花钱的习惯。首先第一个要介绍的呢，就是来看一下这个美国的木材大亨。我们来看第二段的第二个句子。Most of the millionaires featured on the program went from rags to riches. 在这里我们要请同学从 featured 开始刮号，刮到 program， 用来修饰前面的名词 millionaires， 指的在这个节目当中被介绍的许多的富豪，其实他们的生活都是从本来很贫苦的生活到非常有钱的生活，在英文里面就用 from rags to riches 来代表从赤贫到巨富，或者也有白手起家的意思。而这里的 feature 是一个被动态，指被用来在节目当中为特色跟介绍的意思。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to our program, and today we're talking about this program on the Discovery Channel, or rather the Travel and Living Channel. It's called The World's Richest People, and the first person we're talking about in today's program is a millionaire who is a timber baron, somebody who got rich because of wood from trees and things like that, and his name is Tim Blixith, but remember, he is a rags-to-riches story. His family was very poor. His family relied on government handouts to make ends meet, and living in poverty motivated him to strike it rich one day. It must be really degrading, very terrible to be poor. People probably laugh at you. They look down on you, so...what happens if you live in poverty. Poverty, of course, is the state or condition of being very, very poor, not having a lot of money, and actually being, looked down on by people, and you barely can make ends meet.
If something motivates you, it gives you a reason for doing something. So having grown up poor, he, of course, would want to change his own situation.As he grew into being an adult, he thought, I don't want to live like that with my own family. So it motivated him to change his life, to do something in order to become rich someday. His goal was to strike it rich. To strike it rich is a phrase we mean by saying you strike it rich. It means you suddenly become wealthy kind of overnight. It comes fromlooking for gold and also looking for oil and gas. To strike means to suddenly discover something. So you can strike gold by discovering gold suddenly. Or if you are into oil and gas, my dad loved to drill for oil and gas.
Ooh.
And he'd say, we struck oil, which means as they were going down into the earth, drilling into the earth, they found some oil or they found some gas, which is really great.He wanted to get rich very quickly, so we use the phrase, strike it rich.
Strike, of course, also happens in baseball. It's a noun there. One, two, three strikes, you're out. How'd you do when you played baseball today? Oh, I struck out 5 times. Oh, that's terrible. But here, to strike it rich means you get rich quick. You become a millionaire overnight. And despite having limited funds, he got involved in the risky business of buying and developing forestry lands.So he had limited funds despite having limited funds, or even though he didn't have a lot of money, he still got involved in this risky business. Business, of course, is usually risky because lots of people are trying to make money, and if it's risky, that means, well, there are some risks involved. You might win, you might lose. Like we could say, investing in the stock market is risky. You never know if the stocks are going to go up or if they're going to go down.
So if it's risky, it involves the possibility of something bad happening. So you're taking a chance. Well, his particular business was buying and developing forestry lands. If you develop a land, it means you build something on a piece of land or property that you own. So it's kind of risky. Forestry refers to areas of land that have a lot of trees on them. There aren't a lot of buildings or companies that have stores on that area. It's really just a bunch of forests. So we call it forestry. So he was buying areas of land where people had not yet built anything and then trying to develop it, building things, and then selling them to others. By his mid-20s, it's not very old, maybe 25, 26, he had become a millionaire. He'd made his first $1 million already. But unfortunately, we said the business he was in was risky, and he lost all his money after timber prices dropped. He was selling the wood that he was cutting down on the land that he had. And unfortunately, if the prices drop of what you're selling, you don't make much profit.
No, you don't. It's the law of economics. So timber prices dropped. There was probably too much supply, too much wood on the market, and demand was low. So he lost his fortune. And, of course, if you lose your fortune, you're going to be discouraged, which means you're kind of disheartened. You feel bad about something bad that has happened, and it's very difficult to pick yourself up. You lose your enthusiasm, you lose your confidence, and you don't want to continue. But although he was discouraged, even though he was disappointed, Blixith refused to quit. He just kept at it. He came back. He made a comeback, we could say, and he became a millionaire once again when he was 39, which is still pretty young to become a millionaire for the second time.
Yeah, it only took him 15 years that time. Well, today, Blixith owns 5 private jets. A private jet is your own airplane. He also owns 2 yachts. A yacht is a very big, expensive boat. One of his prized possessions is a 14th century French chateau. If you have a prized possession, it's something you own that you love more than anything else. So what does he love more than anything else, or one of the things he loves, is a chateau. A chateau is a very large country house. It's a French word, chateau. That's why we pronounce it kind of funny. It looks like it is in France because here it says it's a French chateau. So he owns kind of a small castle, you could say, in France, and he spent a lot of money restoring it. It's kind of old. It was built in the 1300s. So if you restore something, you repair it, and you turn it back into its original condition so it looks more like it's new, or it looks like it used to look when it was first built.
Right. Restoring. Lots of people do that. I have a friend who restores old motorcycles, for example. He has an old Ducati that he's working on, trying to bring it to perfect condition as if it were brand new. And here's a key part of his business and personal philosophy. Keeping everything in perfect condition is a key part of his business and personal philosophy. So, of course, you want to keep things in perfect condition. Condition just means the state of something, how it is, its appearance, its quality, or whether or not it works. Hey, I'm going to sell my car. Well, it's in good condition. It's as if it's brand new. It's like new. It's in good condition.
Yeah, my car is in excellent condition because I take very good care of it. Well, if it's your philosophy to keep the things you own in good condition, it just means that's your idea of how you want to live. So your philosophy might be a set of ideas about how you want to do something, how you want to live your life. I could say that girl's main cooking philosophy is to use fresh ingredients. She doesn't like to use canned food. She likes everything to be nice and fresh. That's a philosophy. He believes, Mr. Tim Blixith, that is, he believes that the best way to live a good life is to demand excellence from your business and yourself. Always do a great job. If you demand something, it means you say something must be done, but you say it in sort of a forceful, very strong way. So he likes to have excellence in his life. Excellence is the quality of something being very, very high. So it's extremely high quality if something is very good. The adjective form, of course, is excellent, but here we're using the noun form excellence.
Right, to demand excellence, to make sure that everything is as good as it can be, otherwise it's not worth pursuing. So that's his personal philosophy, his business philosophy. Sounds very reasonable to me. Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our discussion. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
第一个要看的是美国的木材大亨 Tim Blixeth。我们来看一下在中间的句子提到 Living in poverty motivated him to strike it rich one day. 其实呢他本来是生活在贫困当中 Living in poverty, 正是因为这样子就激发了他有一天一定要成功变得有钱。在这里使用的动词 motivate 其实就是有激励跟激发的意思。激励某人去做某件事情，我们可以说 motivate somebody to do something. 举例 ,We must motivate students to take charge of their own learning. 指的就是我们必须鼓励学生要自主学习。而这个句子里面讲的 strike it rich 就是有暴富或者是突然呢变得很有钱的意思。同样一段的最后一个句子提到中间当然也有做生意失败的时候。Although he was discouraged, Blixeth refused to quit, and he became a millionaire once again when he was 39. 虽然中间大受挫折，我们用了 discouraged 这个形容词来代表是沮丧、灰心的意思。但是呢他拒绝就这样放弃在39岁再度的成为百万富翁。Discouraged 在这里当作是形容词，当然大家可以想一想它的动词 discourage 原本是有阻止跟限制的意思。所以你呢想要劝阻某人不要做某件事情，你就可以说 discourage somebody from doing something。接着我们来看到下一段的最后两句咯。Keeping everything in perfect condition is a key part of his business and personal philosophy. 对 Blixeth 来说，让他所有的东西都保持在一个完美的状态当中 ,in perfect condition, 就是他生意跟人生哲学的一个关键部分。Philosophy 在这里指的就是他的人生观跟处事的哲学。He believes that the best way to live a good life is to demand excellence from your business and yourself. 那么他相信要过好生活的最好方式就要要求自己做生意跟做事都要表现优秀。在这里的 demand 当作动词有要求的意思。
Thanks for joining us, everyone. We're going to be talking more about these multimillionaires in our next program. So join us and we'll tell you more about the world's richest people. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.